Okay, thank you, operator. Apologize for the slight delay, everyone. I'd like to thank you and welcome you to today's conference call to discuss the just a game-changing announcement made this last Monday that the great Fedor had signed a multi-fight agreement that will see him in fights co-promoted by Strikeforce and M1 Global, with his first fight to be held during the fall on Showtime Live. With us on the call today, we have Ken Hirschman, the Senior VP and General Manager, Sports and Event Programming at Showtime Networks. We've got Strikeforce Founder and CEO Scott Coker. We've got the President of M1 Global, Vadim Finkelstein. And, of course, we've got the fighter recognized as the number one heavyweight in the world, Fedor. So, again, thank you all for participating on this call. There are a lot of media on this, so we're going to try to get to as many of you as possible. But at this point, I'd like to start with opening comments, and we'll begin with Scott Coker. Scott?
Hey, good. Thank you, John. I just want to say it's been an exciting week here in America, and I'm happy to officially welcome our Strikeforce's new partners, M1, Mr. Vadim Finkelstein, and welcome the greatest heavyweight fighter of all time in mixed martial arts, Fedor, to Strikeforce / M1 co-promotions in conjunction with Showtime.
Okay, thank you. Ken Hirschman?
Yep.
Opening comment.
Yeah, hi. This is Ken. I just want to also welcome Vadim and M1 and Fedor. You know, this is an epic signing and, you know, an epic moment in Strikeforce's young history with Showtime. And, you know, we can't wait to feature Fedor on our network, you know, against the other top heavyweights out there in the world. And we're looking forward to a great relationship. And this is the start of many great things to come.
All right, great. Thank you. We've got Tanya, who's going to translate for both Vadim and Fedor. Tanya, could you please ask Vadim for some opening comments, please?
Vadim, пожалуйста, несколько слов по поводу вступления.
Ну, мы очень рады, наконец-то все-таки уже мы определились и сотрудничество со Strikeforce, потому что это компания, которую мы давно как бы знаем и, в принципе, уже как бы давно, давно хотели объединиться, ну, по нашим, ну, как бы вот то, что мы сейчас сделали. Ну, переводить они тоже.
Ага. So we're really very happy finally to be able to determine our great partner Strikeforce. The Strikeforce is the company we've known for a long time, and that's our long-lasting wish to be united and to work together with Strikeforce.
С нашей стороны у Strikeforce есть большой потенциал и большое телевидение в Америке. С нашей стороны есть очень тоже большие контракты в европейских телевидениях, в японских. И мы вместе, ну, одна большая сила.
We know that Strikeforce, that's a great company, which also has a great TV platform as Showtime. And from their side, they have a great potential. And from our side, we also have a great platform with European TV companies and Japanese TV companies. So, and together, two of us will be a great force and a great partnership.
Okay, thank you, Vadim. Tanya, can you ask Fedor to make some opening comments, please?
Fedor, не могли бы вы пару слов сказать?
Я, ну что, я рад то, что мы нашли хорошего партнера.
What to say? I'm really very happy that we found a great partner.
Что у меня будут бои, что я буду радовать своих болельщиков.
I'm very happy to fight again, and I will be very happy to enjoy all my fans.
Okay. Thank you to all. Operator, could you give instructions on how to ask a question?
If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. That's star and the number 1.
And while we're waiting for the first question, Scott, what does the signing of Fedor mean to Strike Force, in your opinion?
Well, you know, it's not just the signing of Fedor, but also the partnership with M1. You know, they have a lot of resources internationally. They have, you know, a lot of other good fighters. Gegard Mousasi is an M1 fighter. So, you know, now in conjunction with Strike Force, you know, we're going to be able to put some sizable matchups together, and some fights are going to be amazing. But, you know, when you talk about Fedor, you know, he is truly the greatest heavyweight mixed martial arts fighter in the history of MMA. And, you know, and when he was a free agent, everybody was after him. And, you know, for us to land him and have him fight on Showtime, I feel like we won the lottery.
Okay. Thank you. We have a lot of questions in queue, so we'll begin now. Operator?
Our first question is from Michael David Smith with AOL Fan.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us today. The question is for Fyodor. You tell us, who do you hope to fight in Strikeforce? We've heard names like Brett Rogers, Fabricio Werdum, Alistair Overeem. You think your first fight should be against Fyodor?
Вопрос к Федору. Много разных кандидатов называлось на ваш бой. Кто, вы думаете, будет вашим следующим противником?
Ой, я пока не знаю даже. Бой будет в октябре. Бой будет осенью, я знаю точно. Вот. Но с кем, пока не знаю. Ну, буду биться с тем, кого мне предложат организаторы.
I don't know the name of the opponent yet. I know for sure that the fight will take place in fall, but I will be happy to meet any opponent which would be offered by the organizers.
Okay, and then a follow-up for Scott Coker. If Fyodor says he's happy to fight any opponent, does that mean it's up to you, and who do you think he should fight first?
You know, I think that it's a little premature. It's something that M1, myself, and Ken will, you know, Ken Hirschman will have to get on a call and figure that out. But it hasn't been determined yet.
Okay, thanks.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Operator.
Our next question is from Eddie Goldman with No Holds Barred.
Thank you very much. Hello, everybody, and congratulations to Scott, Ken, and Vadim, and of course Fedor, on this deal. The first question I have involves the advantages of signing with Strikeforce over the offer that was made by the UFC. The UFC standard contracts have a number of very controversial and unpopular clauses, like the championship clause, where your contract automatically renews if you're the champion, or merchandising rights, where you have to turn over your merchandising and likeness rights to Zuffa. I'd like to know from Fedor and possibly Vadim, what were the key reasons that you turned down the offer with Zuffa and UFC and decided instead to sign with Strikeforce?
Вопрос к Федору и Вадиму. Каковы преимущества подписания контракта со Strikeforce в сравнении с UFC? Он знает, что у UFC много было каких-то запрещающих пунктов. Но вот что было самым главным преимуществом, которое позволило предпочесть контракт со Strikeforce, нежели чем UFC?
Ничего, мне ответить?
Да, Вадь, ага.
Таня, скажи, что преимущество очень большое. У UFC нам не дает нам шанс развиваться. Это первое.
Okay. The advantage in signing the contract, in making the deal with Strikeforce is really great, because the UFC did not give us any chance to develop.
UFC хочет только, чтобы Федор перешел в UFC. Все, больше они ничего не предлагают нам взамен.
Нам это M1, да?
Да. Ну и нам, и Федору.
Yeah, the UFC wants order only to be the fighter of this sea, and that's all they offer us. They do not offer us anything else.
Причем Дэна Уайт заявил, что он отказался от больших денег и пошел драться за гроши. Это все неправда. Он ничего особенного нам не предлагал.
Дэна Уайт stated that Fyodor and M1 rejected a huge amount of money and decided to fight for nothing or for cheap money. But that's not the truth, because nothing special was offered to M1 and Fyodor during negotiations with the UFC.
И сегодня при нашем слиянии со Strikeforce мы имеем возможность эти бои транслировать на первом канале в России, на самом большом канале в Корее, на Sky Perfect TV в Японии и еще куча больших каналов, потому что мы партнеры.
And today, when we made the deal with Strikeforce and when we united with Strikeforce, we've got the opportunity to broadcast all five on the first channel in Russia, on the leading channel in Korea, on Sky TV in Japan, and in many other countries. But UFC won't give us these opportunities.
Another question for Fyodor. You're in your 30s now, and you've had a tremendous decade and a tremendous career. I'm seeing a lot of fighters in the mixed martial arts in their mid-40s and later continuing to fight. Was a factor in signing this deal with Strikeforce and the co-promotion with Strikeforce and M1 Global something that you wanted to lay the basis for you to not have to fight till you just get to be much older and just sort of create a situation where you know you will be set for life with M1 Global?
Sorry, could you kindly repeat the question?
Sure. But, well, I've seen a lot of fighters continue to fight well into their 40s, and Fedor is in his 30s. Is signing this deal with Strikeforce and continuing with M1 Global, did he have that in mind to the future, to set, get himself set financially for the future?
Вопрос к Федору. Вопрос такой, что он видел очень много бойцов, которые, вот вам сейчас 30 лет, он видел очень много бойцов, которые бьются где-то до 40 лет и после 40 лет. Было ли это каким-то решающим вашим фактором в том, что вы подписали контракт со Strikeforce и M1 Global, и это вот как бы ваше видение, продолжение вашей карьеры в будущем?
Ну, я думаю, что возраст здесь ни при чем.
Да, алло, очень плохо слышно.
Я думаю, возраст здесь вообще ни при чем.
I don't think that the age was that the age is important at that point.
Мы хотим развивать ММА, я хочу одновременно, то есть и зарабатывать. И почему, ну как, если Strikeforce предложила предложение лучше, зачем нам идти в UFC? Ну зачем нам?
Понятно.
Смысл идти в UFC?
So I would Fyodor's answer. I would like to develop MMA. And I would like also to earn some money at the same time. If Strikeforce was able to offer better deal than the UFC, why should we go to the UFC?
Okay, thank you. If I had some vodka, I'd toast everybody. Congratulations on this deal.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question is from Loretta Hunt with ShareDog.com.
Hi, everyone. This question would be for Scott. Are you on?
Yep. Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Okay, great. And I hate to put you on the spot, but our reporters just left the UFC presser.
I'm sorry. I cannot hear the question. I'm sorry.
Scott, our reporters just left the UFC presser at UFC 101 in Philadelphia, where Dana called Strike Force Strike Farce and said Fedor put the strike promotion out of business. He also just said that no one watched the last Strike Force show. They have no money and no one to fight Fedor. Sorry to put you on the spot, but could you respond to those comments Dana just made publicly a few moments ago?
Wait, is this to me, Loretta?
Say it again?
Is this to me, Scott?
Absolutely, Scott. Thank you.
Okay. So the comments Dana made were just a minute ago were that we had no money, that we were, he called the strike farce.
Strike farce. Fedora will put you out of business. No one wants
to. Well, you know, my response to that is, of course he's going to say that. I mean, he's a promoter, so. You know, he's gonna go on and do and say what he's gonna say. But we've been in business a long time, and I think we know how to operate a business. And with the relationship with Ken and Showtime and Juan, I feel very confident that we're gonna have some great big shows with Fedor.
Are you surprised that Dana White outfaced with you handling? He's never talked about Strikeforce unfavorably in the public before.
Well, you know, under the current circumstances, I mean, is anybody surprised? I don't think so.
Okay. Also, may I ask a question to Adine?
Go ahead, Loretta.
Thank you. Dana White also just said at the conference, post-fight press conference, that Gerard Mousasi was by two. And he gave no specifics other than the reporters asking about a cease and desist letter that was sent to him on fight from happening. Those are very strong accusations, but being lied to. Could you comment on that and tell us what happened in that whole situation?
Somebody whom I can hear better repeat the question? I'm afraid the connection is not really very good, so I cannot hear the question really very good.
Okay, can you hear me better now?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to ask the question and get back on speakerphone to listen to the answer. Vadim, just a few moments ago after the post-fight press conference, Dana White said that Gerard Mousasi, who's under your management, had been lied to. And then the reporters also asked specifically about a cease and desist letter that had been sent to M1 trying to prevent Mousasi and Babalu from fighting. And he said he denied knowing anything about a cease and desist letter. So it's a two-part question. What is your reaction to Dana's blanket statement that Mousasi was lied to in any type of negotiations with the UFC? And then second, was there any cease and desist letter sent to M1 to try and prevent that fight from happening in Strikeforce?
Вопрос к Вадиму по поводу Герарда Мусаши.
Танюш, значит... слушай, а мне больше не будет вопросов?
Федя, будут тебе вопросы?
Будут, да?
Вопрос к Вадиму по поводу Герарда Мусаши. Когда по поводу боя Мусаши и Бабы Лу. Вот то, что Дэн Уайт сказал, что Мусаши... Мусаши как бы даже не говорили об этом контракте, и то, что... что ему был предложен контракт, и то, что вот пытались как бы его с Бабалу организовать от UFC.
Я не очень понял, Сань, вопрос. Но ты скажи, что мы знали по Герарду Мусаши, как бы у меня партнер Апи Эйкл ведет все переговоры.
По поводу Герарда Мусаши, да?
Да.
Угу.
И лучше, как бы лучше, чтобы точная информация, как бы, ну, можно ее задать Апи. Апи на линии или нет?
Вадим says that all negotiations regarding Gerard Mousasi, Apy Axelt are conducted. So, and Apy is supposed to be on the line, so he can actually give the exact answer.
Yes, I'm in. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Okay. About Mousasi, there hasn't have never been any tight negotiations about this contract. There have been there has been some contact in the past, and also during the conversation, the only thing that came on the table that was that UFC tried to stop the fight and strike was between Musashi and Babalu. But at that time, Musashi already signed his contract, which he is happy with and which he will honor, with Strikeforce. So there haven't been any tight negotiations, and there has been some contact in the past, but no specific details about that. And I spoke to Joe Silva about it last night, and actually, UFC last night for the first time said they the only thing they should like to do or should do is match the contract which Strikeforce, with Affliction had with Musashi. So that was all.
Brian, was a cease and desist letter actually sent to M1? What was their grounds? What was their reasoning that they could try and prevent this fight?
You ask it to me?
Yes, Abby, yes.
I really should, don't know. Perhaps they want to have the Musashi on a cheap and easy way. But at least Musashi, the fighter himself and his management, has to be, have to have got the information in on what conditions they should like to have somebody fight or not. But about Musashi and the UFC, I can be very clear. Let's say this, the UFC now comes too early for him. It's his own way, his own decision, and that's it. He's happy with the Strikeforce contract. He's honoring it, and he's hoping to get the belt back to Holland.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks, Loretta. Operator, next question.
Our next question is from Ariel Helwani with AOL Fanhouse.
Thank you. My first question is for Vadim. I was curious whether... when the Affliction show was canceled and you were free to negotiate with anyone, did you go straight to the UFC and negotiate with them and things broke down and then went to Strikeforce, or were you negotiating with both parties and wanted to figure out, while both offers were on the table, which was the best for you and Fyodor?
Вадим, вопрос к вам. Когда было канцелировано Affliction show, а пошли ли вы сразу на переговоры в UFC, а потом в Strikeforce, или вы вели переговоры одновременно, стараясь взвесить, какое предложение лучше?
Нет, мы были в Америке и специально хотели встретиться с UFC, потому что очень громкие заявления от Лоренцо Фортита и от Дэна Уайта были, что менеджмент Федора ничего не говорит Федору, прячет Федора. И поэтому мы специально сделали эту встречу, послушать, что нам предложат. Вот это была наша идея, послушать и предложить нам наши условия.
So when we came to America, we already had a plan to have a meeting with Lorenzo Fertitta and Dana White, because they stated a lot of time that Fyodor's management was not telling anything Fyodor about the offers of the UFC. So that's why we wanted them to meet each other, and we wanted also to listen to their offer.
Okay. My next question was for Scott Coker. I read some comments recently where you said that it wasn't a foregone conclusion that that Fyodor would get an immediate title shot whenever he debuts for Strikeforce. And I'm curious as to what the thought process is in terms of debuting him, because as it mentioned in the press conference, Strikeforce clearly believes he is the best pound for pound fighter in the world. So why wouldn't the best pound for pound fighter in the world get an immediate title shot?
Well, you know, Ariel, that's a good question, and I didn't say that we would. I didn't say that we wouldn't, you know, and I think that our champion, you know, Alistair Overeem and M1's champion Fedor, would be a fantastic fight, and, that probably will happen at some point. But, you know, like I said, this deal went down so fast, and, before you know, we're on this conference call. So I have to circle back with everybody involved, including Showtime, and then we'll make a decision and let you guys know.
Do you have a health update? I know it's kind of a tangent here, but do you have a health update on Overeem?
As of today, no. But I do know that, when he backed out of the fight, he had re-injured his hand, and that was about, 2-3 weeks ago? So I'm sure he'll be ready to fight in the fall.
Okay, and I just have two more quick questions, if that's okay. My next one is for Ken Hirschman. I'm just curious because a lot of people have talked about the way promoters have tried to promote Fyodor here in North America, and, some of it has failed, some of it has been a success. What is Showtime's approach? How are you going to look to do so to get the word out here for the fans in North America about who this guy is, what he's done in his past, etc.?
That's a good question. We're actually beginning our planning now. We're going to be starting with some teases that we can market on Showtime and across the internet to begin introducing Fedor. For us, Fedor is a sold commodity among the hardcore fans. They all know him. Obviously, everyone recognizes him as the best fighter in the world. So what we have to do is reach out beyond that fan base, beyond the hardcore fan base, and reach the casual fans and the regular general sports fans and begin to generate some excitement. I mean, this is the most exciting fighter out there. And, even if you're not a hardcore mixed martial arts fan, you're still going to get a lot of excitement watching him do his thing in the cage. So it's a big task, but we're up to it. And we have some great support from our partners, and look for some great stuff to come, and we'll update everyone as we develop those materials and get them out.
All right, and my final question is for Fyodor. I just wanted to get a response from him. After this announcement came on Monday, Dana White said to Yahoo Sports that you don't want to fight the best fighters in the world, and you don't give an expletive about the fans. How do you respond to that?
Fyodor, вы здесь?
Да.
Федя, вопрос к тебе. В понедельник после заявления Дэна Уайт сказал, что ты просто боишься встречаться с лучшими бойцами, и ты не заботишься о своих болельщиках. Как ты относишься к этому заявлению?
Ну почему я не встречаюсь с лучшими бойцами? Вот последние два боя, да и до этого тоже, мне кажется, бился с достойными соперниками.
I don't think that I don't meet really good fighters, because last two fights I think that I had really great opponents.
Так, можно я добавлю?
And Вадим would like to add as well.
Скажи, кого он считает хорошим? Брэк Леснера с рекордом 4-1? Хорошим спортсменом?
Кто?
Дэна Уайт. Дэна Уайт говорит, что хорошие все бойцы в UFC. Он считает спортсмена с рекордом 4-1. Это хороший, знаменитый спортсмен. Это просто, это просто продукт их большой пиар-машины.
Ага. Vadim would like to add that it's really, he wonders, whom does Dana White consider to be the best fighters? The fighters which have their record 4-1? Vadim says that maybe this is the fighter which became the product of the great PR machine of the UFC.
I think Roger, намного... сто раз лучше оппонент и серьезнее для Федора и для фанатов и для всего, потому что у него 10 боев и ни одного поражения.
That Roger is very good opponent, is much better opponent for Федор, and that also should be very interesting for fans as well, because he had 10 fights and no one lost.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay. Next question.
Our next question is from Todd McGough with TheKaram.com.
Hi. I guess this question will be for Fedor. Thanks for having me on. I guess after the fall of Pride, Fedor decided to go decided to shy away from UFC and go for a smaller organization in Affliction. Can you kind of tell us what you learned from that experience that helped you make the decision to once again shy away from UFC and then go to another smaller organization in Strikeforce?
Fyodor, вы здесь?
Да.
Вопрос к вам. После того, как вы ушли из Страйда, вы как бы стали работать М1, и вы стали работать с маленькой организацией, такой как Affliction. А вот сейчас вы опять же ушли от UFC и опять работаете с маленькой организацией, такой как, с маленькой организацией. Вот каковы ваши причины и вот почему все-таки вы предпочитаете с маленькими работать, нежели чем с такой большой, как UFC?
Знаете, ну если маленькая организация предлагает условия лучше, чем большая, то, естественно, мы будем работать с с меньшей организацией.
So the answer further, is the following one, that if small organization offer much better conditions than the big organization, he will work with small organizations.
UFC уже просто заелось. Они не считают, ни людей вокруг себя не видят, ни бойцов за людей не считают, наверное. Они... Но не то отношение к людям.
From my viewpoint, the UFC does not have.
Sorry, just gave.
Okay, can I continue?
Yes.
Hello.
Please continue. Yes.
Okay, so from my viewpoint, the UFC does not have the proper attitude towards fighters. They do not consider fighters to be normal people, human being. What I think that the attitude of the UFC to their fighters is not the correct one.
Причем ведет лживую политику. Нам они предлагали одно, а в интернете сейчас пишут совершенно другое, что нам там предлагали сумасшедшие миллионы, а их предложение было просто скудным по сравнению с тем, что пишут в интернете.
And I don't like their policy, which appears to be really false one, because the offer which we got was of one kind, and then in the internet they published absolutely different numbers. So, because the offer which we got from them was really miserable.
Ladies and gentlemen, Scott Coker is on the line.
Okay, thanks.
Scott, welcome back.
Thank you. Okay, we have just a few more minutes, so if you have a question for Scott, punch back in on the rotation. We're going to try to fit in as many as we can here in the next few minutes. Operator?
Our next question is from Darren Blake with Tap Out Radio.
Thank you, and congratulations to Scott and Vadim for coming to an arrangement where we can see Fedor in the United States. Scott, I have a question for you. Will Strikeforce ever hold a Grand Prix tournament in the future?
Well, I tell you, that's a good question. And, it's something that we've talked about with Showtime. And, right now there's not any definite plans, but it's definitely something that, I've always liked the tournament format. And, it could head that way, but right now there's no definite plans.
Okay. Fedor has never legitimately lost a fight, which is obviously a part of his appeal and his marketing potential for you. When or if Fedor loses, if he's still with Strikeforce, how does that affect your strategy for using him in the long term?
Well, keep in mind, every fighter at some point, in his career could possibly lose, but does that make them not have a legacy and a history and be the great athlete that they are? And, I don't think you can judge, especially in MMA, a fighter by one fight. So, the nice thing about Fedor is consistently over the period of his career, he's beaten everybody. And, I remember in Japan when I was watching him, when I was, working for K-1 at the time, and, he was destroying everybody. And, he hasn't ducked anybody, so... For people to say he's duck fighters, isn't that, it's ridiculous. So, but getting back to, if he loses, it could happen to anybody. Oscar De La Hoya's lost, Muhammad Ali's lost, Sugar Ray Leonard's lost. All the great boxers have lost. And in MMA, I don't think it impacts you as much as other sports.
Gotcha. And do you have at this stage a set date and location for the October show? And do you have any plans for Jakari to maybe fight Jake Shields for the interim middleweight belt?
What I can tell you is we'll probably have something by tomorrow as far as the date, so look for an announcement, exact date and location. And, you know, my guys, the partners with Strikeforce are really good at the venue deal, so they're talking to three different venues right now to host the first fight with Fedor and M1. So we'll have some more information probably tomorrow, the next day, and but right now there's nothing 100% set on a specific date.
Okay, well, thank you very much.